Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you are in our midst to minister to us as we minister to you. As we come before your presence, Lord, we thank you for your word. We ask you, Lord, that you quicken it to our mind and our hearts, that we may be able to receive, Lord, that we able to hear, Lord, that we able to put it to work in us, Lord, to produce the things that you send it for, Lord. We thank you and praise you for it, Lord, and we open our heart to you, Lord. Have your way with us today, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Well, let's remember that we are dealing with the topic of the mystery of prayer. To understand that prayer is not a mental thing. It's a spiritual activity. And unless we move in our spirit, it remains ineffective. All the things that we do as we connect with God are spiritual. And we have to allow him to quicken us, to empower us, to enable us to do the thing. We have been seeing so many already things, you know, that sometimes we forget maybe the trend or the idea that is based all this series on. And I want to make sure that you just remember it, because the important thing to understand is not just making a Bible study. Okay, it's a question of allowing the word to change us and to empower us so that we can apply it, that we can see it working and producing results in our life. God doesn't speak just for the sake of speaking. He speaks to produce results. When he speaks, he just makes changes happen in our life. Praise the Lord. In the last few sessions, we talked about what happens when we pray and it looks like there is a wall before us and we need a breakthrough. And what we've been looking at is the fact that when that happens, there are strongholds that need to be taken down, broken within ourselves. Get ideas or other things that are hindering us from being able to connect with God. Because when there is connection with God, the victory comes. He's more powerful than all the strongholds. Okay, the problem is not with God, it's with us. We need to understand how to receive. And the first stronghold that we saw, had to do with disobedience. You see, born-again believers can be disobedient, all right? And it shouldn't be, but the flesh is still there. And because of that, we need to break through or actually identify that disobedience that we often are blind to, okay? And so the things to do in that case is really, the counteractive, if you want, to that is really the fear of the Lord. Opening up to the fear of the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the things that we can connect with. Jesus had the fear of the Lord. And he treasured that. So if he did, we need it too. It's not just the Old Testament thing. It's something that, says the word says, is pure and endure forever. Hallelujah. Then, but there are other ones. And the one we are looking at today is the lack of knowledge. We started last week. For lack of knowledge, my people perish. So these are his people. Now, we should have much more knowledge than anybody in the Old Testament. Because the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and they didn't have the Holy Spirit in them. So he's there to give us, to bring us to the whole truth, to guide us into all truth, to reveal to us things to come, to protect us from, he's our helper. And we have to allow him to help us. All right? So there are, and if there is a problem, with our lack of knowledge is due to one thing, that we don't listen. You see, the problem is not a question of knowledge. The question is a question of hearing. See, Jesus in the book of Revelation talks to the seven churches, and he says to them, and these were Christian, these were believers. You know, he said, he who has ear to hear, let him hear. Okay, so the idea is that we had to be able to hear. And sometimes there are things that are blocking us from here. You know, the same thing, to be able to identify things. We need to know. The Holy Spirit is the one that brings us to that knowledge. The thing is, you know, the scripture is important there to remember that everybody quotes. But, you know, we have to see the implications of that. See, there are some implications. The fact that for lack of knowledge, my people perish. But doesn't stop there. Okay? It says there, you know, because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being a priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. This is Hosea 4:6. Okay, the idea here is that, you know, it is not that we didn't know. The idea is that we know, and we just reject knowledge. That's why we don't have it. And there are reasons why we do that. And so we are going to see the way it works. I mean, I told you before, you know, last week we were talking about Adam. How did he sin? Because he knew what was wrong, but he rejected knowledge. And because of that, produced all the problems we have today. But, you know, God knew it before. See, God wasn't surprised by what Adam did. See, that's the interesting thing. That God knows everything before, and he had planned about that before. Hallelujah. If you read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, says, but by the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, he indeed was foreordained. I mean, God ordained that before. Was foreordained before the foundation of the world. That means before Adam was made. Are you following me? God knew everything, and he made him anyway because he had a plan. See, God is a planner. And his plans are from the beginning because he knows the end from the beginning, it says in Isaiah. So the idea is that God wants to work the plan for us so that we can become free and becoming like Jesus. And he had ordained Jesus to die for us so that we could be free. See, and he went through the whole thing anyway, because even if he knew it, wasn't a surprise to him that Adam fell. And, you know, even in the Old Testament, okay, Adam was like the equivalent before his sin to a born-again believer because he was in communion with God. But these children weren't. And all the people weren't until Jesus came. But even then, God communicated with them. I mean, he provided, even with Adam, after the fall, he talked to him yet. Wasn't Adam going after God? God came after Adam. He says, where are you? Because he was hiding. See, he knew it. You know, he didn't change his mind because, you, Adam, you missed it. I told you not to do so. Mm-mm. You know, that wasn't the issue. All right? He went after him, and he provided for the thing, and he said, you know, and give him, you know, so I was naked. Well, you know, he said, you know, provided for his nakedness, says, okay, you had to cover yourself with the skin of an animal. You know, essentially, he provided and explained to him the, you know, forgiveness that they could be covered by the atonement of dying, an animal dying for them. wasn't a temporary thing, but he was still communicating with them as a sinner, that he had a provision for him. Okay, the same thing happened later on. I mean, when Cain and Abel went before him, you know, they knew what was right. Cain knew, you know, that he had to go with offering the sacrifice with the animal, and instead he offered his fruit because he said, well, it's my job, you know, I'm doing my own thing. But, you know, you cannot do, please God, doing your own thing. You had to do his thing because he knows better. Okay, he has a bit more knowledge than we do. Okay, so he was rejected. You see, again, you know, Cain rejected God, had the God instruction, the knowledge that he had, and he was rejected by God, and he got upset. See, this is the way it is all the time. Even in the Old Testament, God communicated to sinful men so that they would know what was right and was wrong. And they could make a choice. Are you still there? Praise the Lord. You see, we need to understand, okay? And we talked about also the thing is, well, it's fair that somebody doesn't know about Jesus because there was an environment that we didn't know, you know, and they're going to send to hell. Well, we talked about that because God communicates to them yet, even if they come in an environment they don't know him. We have to understand that God is fair and just. And if they, you know, do what the Lord reveals to them, then they are going to be accepted. But the thing is, it's so difficult for man to do what he reveals to us because of there are other passions that are motivating us, other desires that are motivating us. And there's only a few in the Old Testament we see that really were friend with God. They were open to God because they had understanding and they seek after God. And what we see, what I shared last week, you know, I'm going to move something new now. We're going to see more the way things are the way they are today in the world, why they are that way. But, you know, if people seek, no matter what they're coming from, no matter the background they have, God is going to get in touch with them one way or another, either through somebody or even himself, through dream. There are so many people from other religions, even from, you know, I was sharing about primitive people that don't know anything, but they are seeking after God. You know, God coming to them, revealing, Jesus going to them, revealing themselves to him, to them, and if they respond positively, they are directed on how to do. They are saved. This is so exciting because, you know, God works supernaturally, not just naturally. He's a supernatural God. Christianity is a supernatural experience, not just a religion. Religion is made by man. Jesus didn't come to make a new religion. There were already too many around. He came to establish a relationship between us and God so that we can receive from him the direction, the protection, the blessings that he wants to give us. Both things, you know, I wish that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. But we had to want it. You see, the key thing, the key element in connecting with them is the desire to have, seeking for righteousness, seeking to meet with them, seeking him more than anything else. Hallelujah. So, we start reading from Romans chapter 1. And we talk about verse 18. It says, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. See, the wrath of God is not just punishment. This is has to do mostly with the way he feels with us when we rejecting him. See, if you try to be nice to somebody and that person rejects you, you're not going to be too pleased. Okay? Your feelings toward that person is going to change. Well, the same thing happened with God. When we reject him, you know, he feels differently about you. He still loves you. You know, a parent, when a child that he loves or she loves does the wrong thing, is not pleased, is the feeling of the, you know, is hurt, the father or the mother, still love them. Well, the same thing is with God. You see, he's hurt when he's rejected. You know, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can grieve God because he has feelings the way we do. But he still loves us, still want to help us. He will still want to correct us. He will still want to, the same thing, you know, parents, a good parent would do. Actually, better, because the Bible says, you know, that you are not as good parents as God is. Amen? All right. So let's see here what it says here. Okay. Let's start from the beginning again of this verse, because it's good to have the whole thing coming together. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So you see, the idea is, again, suppressing the truth. The whole thing has to do with the truth that we have to receive. That we, you know, if we suppress it, that means we know it. All right? At some level, maybe unconscious level, and there are lots of layers of other feelings and other things, but we know the truth. Continue, verse 19. Because what may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has shown it to them. So you see, that's what it's saying. God shows it to everybody. Okay? And so because he showed it to everybody, everybody should know it, but they really don't want to know it because there are other things pulling them in that direction. All right? Continue in verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen by being understood by the things that are made. Actually, you know, the by doesn't quite reflect, you know, there is a flexibility. It's, you know, it's better to have true that part there. You know, that's a translation. There are the translations that have true. Okay, and actually that's really, for us, makes us understand, because my by may be interpreted in a different way, but truth, you cannot interpret in any other way. All right? So they are, where am I? Is there, you know, true, the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead or divine nature, so that they are without excuse. So you see, that's saying here that when we don't know, when we lack knowledge, we are without excuse. All right? So it's interesting to see God's perspective about things, because he can see the whole picture, and we sometimes are blinded because of their lack of understanding that is connected to our limitations. Okay? It says, continue, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of incorruptible God into image made like corruptible men, birds, four-footed animals, and creeping things. So you see, there is a change because of the directions of their thinking, that instead of worshiping God, they start worshiping idols. or worshiping created things that they attribute, they attach to it, their emotions and their feelings and their desires. That's the beginning of the problem. And it's showing us why that happens. Okay. So therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness, in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their body among themselves. So you see, that's a consequence of that initial position that they take. Instead of worshiping God, they start worshiping other things. All right. And so, see, God, the way God deals with them, he gives them up to these things. Okay? Who has changed the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve creatures rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So you see, you understand where the problems come from. We should know. But, and this is not just for born-again believers, it's for anybody. The people that are born again should have a better communication because, you know, they broke through some things already. Okay? So they were in a position in which their heart is directed toward God. That's why they're born again. Otherwise, they won't become born again. All right? Okay. So the results are even evident today. Okay? For this reason, God gave them up to wild passions. For even women exchange their natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. So you see the world today, the way it developed, like the mentality of the world today, okay? Once everybody knew what was right and was wrong, there was no confusion about sexes. Now, because they start opening up, they are close completely to the knowledge of the truth, and the old society mentality is changed, and not only that, but they even influence, you know, they made up stuff, even to prove scientifically, which is not proved at all, that this is something that is in their DNA. Okay, there is absolutely, but see that people, you know, science is not dealing with the truth. It's dealing with paradigms that are accepted by the majority of the people. So, you know, you believe in stuff like evolutions, you believe in stuff like, you know, all these other things that are made up by people wanting to prove something. Instead of revealing or dealing with the truth. This is why I left science. When the Lord opened up my mind to the truth, I was actually one of those fools that tried to find the truth in science, and I was an atheist. But when the Lord revealed him, but I was seeking the truth. You see, what I said before, if you are seeking, you're going to know it. And since I didn't get it from anybody, he himself revealed himself to me. And when I realized that, I left science overnight. And because I said I was looking for the truth, now I have the truth. And it's Jesus. He's the truth, the way, and the life. You know, and I don't regret that. You know, I was doing well in science. You know, I was doing, in the short period of time in which I was doing it, I was producing stuff, making discoveries. I discovered the biggest thing that one can look after. Yes. Anyway, to go back here. Are you following me?
Yes.
See, there is a progression that takes place. You know, we open ourselves up to certain things, and those things have an effect on us, and we after don't know anymore. See, when even believers, okay, when they are desire or beliefs or passions for things that are wrong, the first time they are exposed to the temptations, it is clear what's right and what's wrong, but the desire in the heart affects their ability to make the decision right. You make the wrong decision because you shut down what God is telling you. And when you have done that, after a while, you don't know anymore. And you are confused. This is why, you know, what happens today in the denominations, they don't believe anything. Okay? Because they accept some lies because of their desires and because of their politics instead of seeking after the truth, and they lose everything. Anyway, and that is a sad thing to see. But God is just. Hallelujah. All right. Are you following? We have some time yet. Praise the Lord. Okay. I'm not going to go into all the details because it continues there explaining how corrupt the whole thing is and how the corruption grows. Okay. Let me see. No, we can't tell stuff. All right. So let's take some other examples now. Let's see, you know, even our born-again believer or people actually that are connected with God one way or another can do these things. You know, Jesus himself, okay, when people start looking at the Bible, okay, and takes only some part of the Bible, believing that, and reject some other parts, they do exactly the same thing. Okay, they reject the truth. And we get denominations that reject some things that are actually clearly explained in the Bible. How can you justify that you are kicked out of some churches because you speak in tongues? All right? It's common. Okay? You get filled with the Holy Spirit. They don't believe that can happen. Well, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I mean, Jesus is the same. Okay? So if he's the same, he's going to deal with you the same way as he dealt with the early church. Doesn't say any place that Jesus has changed and the way God deals with people is now different than before. Okay? So we can see that when there is a rejection, for example, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and forbidding to speak in tongues, you know, you wonder, have you read the Bible? Do you say you believe the Bible? Because, you know, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 38 and 39, for it says, for if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. You see, that's God's position. You want to reject me? Be rejected. Okay, but continue. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. And do not forbid speaking in tongues. Now, how can you justify? It says we cannot accept you for that. I don't want to be polemical about this stuff. You know, I don't like to do that kind of things. But the point is, you know, the Bible, from the cover to cover, we had to take it and believe it. This is what is the word of God speaking to us. We can pick and choose what we like and remove what we don't like. Because the very moment when we do that, our eyes get covered and there is a veil coming from there and we are not going to discern anymore good and evil. Actually, we are going to turn them around. We call evil good and good evil. All right. Are you? Another example is healing. I mean, people say, well, you know, healing is when God feels like it. Well, not my Bible. I read the Bible. I don't go by the doctrine of men. Okay? So, the Bible, you know, Jesus went, you know, there was not one person. Not one person that Jesus refused to heal. And I'm sure there were lots of sinners that went to him to get healed. Okay? And anybody that has the Holy Spirit working through them knows that sometimes it's easier to get people that are not saved healed than people that are saved. The reason is because they have been indoctrinated with doctrines of men. Anyway, so Jesus was anointed, you know, by the Holy Spirit and power, went around healing all who were oppressed by the devil. I mean, doesn't say some, says all. All right? And he doesn't change. Praise the Lord. See, this is why we can believe for healing. Otherwise, you have no basis to believe that you have the faith to receive healing. It's ours because of what Jesus did. By our stripes, we were healed. If we were healed, then we are healed. Amen? And if we are healed, then the problem is not with God, it's with us, the ability to receive what is ours. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, you know, I really think that the typical example I think I used even last week was Paul. I mean, Paul was a Christian killer. But he sought after God. His desire to serve God was strong, and he was ready to do anything to serve him. But he was confused by the traditions of men. He was indoctrinated, but his heart was in the right place. You see, when that happens, God intervenes. And if he had to intervene supernaturally, he will intervene supernaturally for you and me.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Because he loves us. And he knows our heart. Doesn't just know the outside, what is apparent, or our thinking. You know, he knows our heart that is deeper than our thinking. Our thinking is messed up. You know, our thinking often stinks and produces wrong results because we don't understand and we interpret things our own way because we've been indoctrinated. But when we are open to the Holy Spirit, he guides us into all truth. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. So we can, you see, he was seeking the truth and Jesus intervened and give him a chance. That's what happens to everybody. My experience. Anyway, see, the idea, you know, that we had to be careful to the things that we are exposed. Because the things you are exposed, you know, have an effect on us. The things that you are exposed, see, we start by tolerating them. We are exposed to them. After a while, we tolerate it. You know, we get used to them, and it's okay. You know, and it's not okay. Not okay from the point of view of God. God, some things he can't stand. So we should be able not to, you know, not to react in the right way and to protect ourselves. We have to protect our heart with all diligence because out of the heart comes the issues of life. So unless we protect our heart is influenceable. Okay? And that is the thing that we have to make the right decisions. If we are exposed to unclean things, after the beginning, you know, maybe, oh, it's just disgusting. But after a while, you get used to it. And then you develop a taste for it. And then you're bound by it. You end up doing those things. Are you following me? See, that's the way it works. You know, Wesley said, you know, that what one generation tolerates, the next generations will embrace. And we can see that. Okay, we can see that today happening. Okay? Now, I saw some preachers using that in the positive. You know, well, you don't tolerate something good. And then you end up doing, you generally tolerate something that is wrong. All right? All right. Oh, well. Looks like the bell is ringing. Did you get anything today? I mean, it wasn't such an exciting topic because it's dealing with issues or problems that we are all facing today. The thing is, you know, understanding the way these things work, understanding the way God's justice work, even in dealing with the wrong thing, how he's wanting to minister to us and to minister to people that are even messed up, because nothing cannot be fixed by God if their heart is open. Okay? And that's the key. That's the difference. You know, when our heart seek righteousness, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, people don't understand. They only think that because they seek after God, they're going to miss everything, all the fun of life. No, that's when fun comes. Amen. That's when you're going to get blessed. Because, you know, walking with God, the only thing you get is blessings. Walking with religion, the only thing you get is bondage. Amen? Praise the Lord. Oh, we should make a confession here. Huh? Yes. Praise the Lord. All right. Praise you, Jesus. Okay, let's start with that. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I am a believer. I believe the Bible. From cover to cover. And my ears are open to hear your word and to accept it and to put it to work in my life so that I may be transformed in the image of Jesus. This is the plan you have for me. And this is what I want for myself. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Let me feel your love working through me toward others, so that I may be serving you in reaching out to them and ministering life, because you are the giver of life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.